ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते
भगवतम। कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 9 लीव टेक्स्ट 3। नो प्रॉब्लम। Our Subal Prabhu gave a fantastic class yesterday with the first two verses, so I remember it was the next one. It was the third verse. It's the chapter entitled Mother Yashoda Binds Lord Krishna. Text 3. Kshomam Vasah Prithu Katitate Bibhrati सूत्रनद्धं पुत्रस्नेह स्नुतकुचयुगं स्नुतकुचयुगं जातकंपं च सुभ्रुः रज्ज्वाकर्ष श्रमभुज चलत् कंकणौ कुंडले च स्विन्नं वक्त्रं कबरविगलन् मालती निर्ममन्त क्षौमं वास पृथुकटितटे बिभ्रती सूत्रनद्धम्। क्षौमं वासः पृथुकटितटे बिभ्रति सूत्रनद्धम्। पुत्रस्नेह स्नुतकुचयुगं जातकंपं च सुभ्रुः। पुत्रस्नेह स्नुतकुचयुगं जातकंपं च सुभ्रुहो। रज्ज्वाकर्ष श्रमभुज चलत् कंकणौ कुंडले च। रज्ज्वाकर्ष श्रमभुज चलत् कंकणौ कुंडले च। स्विन्नं वक्त्रं कबरविगलन् मालती निर्ममन्थ स्विन्नं वक्त्रं कबरविगलन् मालती निर्ममन्थ सो आई विल चैंट इट वन्स मोर एंड देन वी विल हैव वैष्णवस एंड वैष्णवीस चैंट। क्षौमं वासः पृथुकटितटे बिभ्रति सूत्रनद्धम्। स्नेह स्नुतकुचयुगं जातकंपं च सुभ्रुहो। रज्ज्वाकर्ष श्रमभुज चलत् कंकणौ कुंडले च। स्विन्नं वक्त्रं कबर विगलन मालती निर्ममंथ। प्लीज काइंडली चैंट। क्षौमं वासः कटितटे बिभ्रति सूत्रनद्धम्। Putra sneha snuta kucha yogam jata kampam chasubruho. Rajvakarsha shrama bhuja chalat kankanau kundalecha. Svinnam vaktram kabara vigalan malati nirmamantha. Kshomam vasaha pritu kati tate vibrati sutranadham. Putra sneha snuta yuga. Rajvakarsha shrama bhuja chalat kankarnau kundalecha. Svinnam vaktram kabara vigalan malati nirmamantha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Dressed in a saffron yellow sari with a belt tied about her full hips, Mother Yashoda pulled on the churning rope, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk. Her face, with its very beautiful eyebrows, was wet with perspiration, and Malati flowers were falling from her hair. Purport. Anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious in motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate the bodily features of Mother Yashoda. It is not that one should desire to become like Yashoda, for this is Mayavad. Either in parental affection or conjugal love, friendship or servitorship, in any way, we must follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vraja, not try to become like them. Therefore, this description is provided here. Advanced devotees must cherish this description, always thinking of Mother Yashoda's features, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring, how beautifully the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yashoda in maternal affection for Krishna. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupahakadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswata Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I feel utterly unqualified to be seated here and to speak on this most exalted verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. This temple is very special for me in a few ways. The first time my father visited the United States of America, it was 1993. And he, from then on, whenever he visited America, the first temple that he visited was Kishore Kishori Mandir. So whenever anyone spoke about temples in America, he would definitely mention Kishore Kishori. And 25 years later, I get this chance to visit this temple and to certainly go back and tell my father that The deities are certainly very beautiful. Also, this is very special because I was there in Vrindavan for Kartik for more than 15 days. And the first American city that I'm touching after Vrindavan, straight, is here. And it's interesting that the Kartik flavor continues. The glories of Mother Yashoda and Damodar. So, I am not qualified to speak anything here. Materially or spiritually, I think I'm the youngest here, I would say so. And I am definitely a conditioned soul, so I would make mistakes while speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam. So before I even attempt to speak a word, I want to bow down to each one of you present here and take your foot dust and your blessings and best wishes. May the right words come at the right time, in the right mood, in the glorification of Mother Yashoda, bringing satisfaction and pleasure to your ears, finally leading to cleansing of my heart as the speaker herein. Please kindly offer your blessings, prayers, and best wishes so that I can serve you favorably this morning. Srila Jiva Goswami, in a celebrated work called as the Gopal Champu, makes a very beautiful point. Srila Jiva Goswami says, when I hear about the pastimes of Krishna, which are supposed to melt the hard-hearted, unfortunately, my steel-framed heart doesn't melt. Then Srila Jiva Goswami says, even when I attempt to hear about the baby pastimes of Krishna, which certainly melt the hearts of one and all, still my steel-framed heart doesn't melt. Even when I hear about the glory of Mother Yashoda's love, still my steel-framed heart doesn't melt. But when I hear about the mutual affection and reciprocation between baby Krishna and Mother Yashoda, then my heart completely melts like butter, and that butter thief comes and steals it away. So the glory of Mother Yashoda in relation to Sri Krishna is mentioned profusely by so many of our acharyas. Even Srila Rupa Goswami in the Padyavali, he repeats what is composed by another great acharya in the Sri Vaishnav line, and he says, Jnanavalambaka kechit, kechit karmavalambaka, vayam tu haridasanam padatranavalambaka. But there are many devotees who take the path of speculative knowledge. All glories to them. There are many who take to the process of fruitive activities. All glories to them. Srila Rupa Goswami in the Padyavali, he says, however, we devotees, we don't tread the path of speculative knowledge. We don't tread the path of fruitive activities. We tread only one path. The path of carrying the foot dust and the foot slippers of pure devotees on our head. This is our path. So it's so fantastic and so wonderful that this class, we will not describe Krishna at all. We will describe the glory of Mother Yashoda on the top of our head. Also, Srila Shukadeva Goswami, towards the end of Damodar Leela, he makes this very beautiful point that that supreme gift which Mother Lakshmi doesn't get even by massaging the lotus feet of the Lord, that supreme gift which Brahma doesn't get as the original son of the Supreme Lord, that gift which Lord Shiva doesn't get as the Lord of total devastation, that gift Mother Yashoda gets in Vrindavan, that is to chastise and reprimand the Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. The only one who can chastise the Supreme Lord, who can pinch him for his mistakes, who can run with a whipping stick behind him, who can tell him bedtime stories, who can feed him when he is hungry and feed him when he is thirsty, is Mother Yashoda. It's almost impossible to imagine a mother for Narasimha Dev. Imagine baby Narasimha with a lion face and his mother running with a whipping stick when he runs behind butter pots. Yeah, Narasimha Dev looks behind. It's almost impossible because this is a destructive interference of mellows.
But when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Akhila Rasamrita Murti, the ultimate personification of all loving transcendental mellows, comes as a baby in Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda, the Supreme Eternal Mother, manifests this pastime of giving Krishna that flavor which he never gets in any other pastime. Mother Yashoda is very special for the fundamental reason that we all want to go back home, back to Godhead. Each one of us want to perform bhakti to go back home, back to Godhead. But it is only Mother Yashoda who can take Godhead back home when he's late from the forest. Right? Krishna's playing in the forest all day and it's Mother Yashoda who makes her calls. Krishna, are you coming? It's already breakfast time. And Krishna says, just give me 5 minutes. I'm wrapping up with this game with my friends and I'll be there. And it's noon time. And Mother Yashoda makes an announcement. Are you coming there for lunch prasadam? Or do you want me to come with a stick into the forest? No, Mother, I'm coming. It's almost done. And the friends won't let him go. The friends would tell Krishna, Krishna, we've been playing with you all afternoon. And now, when it's time for you to find us in this hide and seek game, that's when you hear your mother's call, isn't it? And Krishna says, no, I really got to go. My mother would lock me outside. The friends say, your mother has been calling you from breakfast time, but at that time you were hiding, so you didn't hear those calls. And now you got to seek. And interestingly, lo and behold, you hear your mother's call. Krishna tells his friends, okay, let me go. My mother would not let me get in otherwise. And the friends say, we all have mothers. We know how to deal with them. But remember, even if you're late, your mother's going to take you inside the house. But if you leave us, hands on our heart, we will never let you play with us again another day. So Krishna says, okay, let me play with you. And dinner time. And this tug of war between friends and his mother and friends and mother Yashoda, Krishna is in the middle, locked up, playing this tug of war of love as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, becoming a child in Vrindavan. So we all want to go back home, back to Godhead, but it's only Mother Yashoda who can take Krishna, Godhead, back home with his ear. So that Mother Yashoda is so beautifully described here. Her bodily beauty is described in this verse. And interestingly, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, at least three times emphatically says, one must think of this form, one must contemplate on this form, one must hear this description. So we must obey Srila Prabhupada and have this discussion about Mother Yashoda's bodily beauty. So let us begin. There are many things described in this verse, and it's a long verse. Do we all see this? It's a comparatively longer verse. The verses before this were like the verses in the Bhagavad Gita. We can never chant this verse in that meter. Because the meter that generally Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita is composed in is a meter which has 8 syllables in each line. It's called as the Anushtup Chandaha. The meter with 8 syllables, like yada yada hi dharmasya, 8 syllables. Glanir bhavati bharata. So 8 syllables each line. But interestingly, this one is a double long meter. This is 17 syllables each line. Our acharyas are commenting something very beautiful here. Shukadev Goswami till now used Anushtup Chandaha, the meter of 8 syllables. What makes him double the syllables on each line and use this meter called as Mandakranta in Sanskrit? Instead of using 8 syllables each line, why Shukadev Goswami suddenly jumped up to 17 syllables each line? That's almost more than twice the syllables in each line. The acharyas smile and they comment in their commentary that Shukadev Goswami, as his mood of emotions and ecstasy increases in quality, the number of syllables needed to express that emotion also increases. So till now, he just started describing Mother Yashoda's activity of singing with her tongue and remembering the songs through her mind and at the same time working in serving Krishna. But herein, Shukadev Goswami's heart is palpitating at double the speed, describing the beautiful mother of the all-beautiful, attractive Krishna. And therefore, it's a longer verse. So Srimad Bhagavatam is not just devotionally deep, even linguistically, as far as Sanskrit is concerned, it is very beautiful, very poetic. So let us go little by little in the time that we have, as to what are the different components of Mother Yashoda's beauty that are described herein. Is everyone clearly able to see every aspect, or should the board be moved to the side? Is everyone able to see the verse clearly? Okay. So, let's begin. The first section of the verse is Kshaumam Vasaha. Can we have a call and response? What is it? Kshaumam Vasaha. So the word Vasaha means clothing, and Kshaumam means a saffron, yellowish, silken garment. So Kshaumam Vasaha basically means Mother Yashoda has dressed herself up in a very clean, fresh, very tidy, saffron color complexioned, yellowish complexioned silk cloth garment. So this is the mood of Kshaumam Vasaha. Now our acharyas are commenting a few things here. First and foremost, why a saffron color cloth has been put up by Mother Yashoda? Kshaumam refers to a yellowish, an orangish, a saffron complexioned garment. Why is Mother Yashoda putting this complexion, this garment on? It could have been perhaps, let's say, a blue sari, or it could have been a purple sari. Why is Shukadev Goswami saying that she wore a saffron complexioned a colored garment? First and foremost, the color saffron represents dedication. So this is the day of Diwali, early Brahma Muhurta, that Mother Yashoda has woken up to really perspire and toil for the pleasure of Sri Krishna. So even the dress that she has put on represents her mood of dedicated, one-pointed surrender towards the pleasure of Sri Krishna. Mother Yashoda is fed up with all the complaints that she has received about her baby Krishna. Now all the gopis are coming in the previous chapter, in the 8th chapter, telling Mother Yashoda that your son is a thief. You know, he's fearless. You go and tell him that, Krishna, what are you doing? You're getting into my bedroom and you're stealing all this butter and breaking these butter pots. You're a thief. And he doesn't move an inch. He continues eating and he looks at me with the eyes of fearlessness and he says, not me, it's you who's a thief. And the gopis talk to each other. Now that, what did I say? Did you speak like that? And Krishna looks at the gopis and he says, the whole universe belongs to me. So what do you think? The butter in the butter pot in the neighbor's house doesn't belong to me? Even that belongs to me. It's your mistake that you thought it belonged to you. So I'm just taking my own property. It just happens to be in your house. Another gopi comes and tells Mother Yashoda that to stop Krishna's activities, notorious activities, we even kept our husband as the watchman just to make sure that Krishna doesn't enter. But what to do? We tell our husband, just be on guard, and Krishna comes there with his ever beautiful, wonderful, attractive smile, and he smiles with all those milk-like white drops of row of teeth in his mouth, and he looks at our husbands and he smiles, and the husband doesn't even realize when Krishna slips from between the legs and goes inside and breaks all the butter pots and finishes all the butter and feeds all the monkeys and then leaves, and the husband is still standing like a statue. And the gopis come to Mother Yashoda and say, this is nothing. He has crossed all boundaries in our house. I switched off all the lamps so that he doesn't have any light. And he gets in all these jewels and attractive ornaments and he lights up and illuminates all the rooms. So he exactly knows where the pots are, where the butter is, and he knows my house better than I know my house. And another gopi says, I even keep it high up in the air, but he exactly knows what is the height and how many boys have to stand one over another on the shoulder to make a pyramid to get to that butter pot. He comes with his own team. Another gopi says, when I hide it all, and he doesn't have anything, no option in my house, he comes and pinches my child who's sleeping on a cradle. And when the baby starts crying, Krishna tells him, the mistakes that the parents make, the karma touches the child. So it's your mother who doesn't feed the Yajneshwara, the lord of all yajnas, therefore you must suffer. And the gopis are coming in this way and speaking to Mother Yashoda, externally speaking as if they're complaining, but it is only an opportunity where they can have each other's association, keeping Krishna in the center. The acharyas explain, actually the gopis would pray to Vishnu that the test that our butter is well prepared and very tasty is that Yashoda's son should come and steal it away with delight. So Krishna was simply coming to answer their prayer. And at the same time, the hearts of the devotees, especially the Braja gopis, is like butter. It is white like butter in purity and soft like butter in compassion. And Krishna is making this bold statement to the world that when the heart, by the process of chanting and hearing and serving Vaishnavas, becomes white like butter and soft like butter in compassion and humility, that's when I come and through the butter pot of their body, I put my hand and take the butter like soft heart away. This is the work of the butter thief. He doesn't steal butter, he steals butter like pure hearts of the Vaishnavas. So Mother Yashoda thought, my child is known to be a thief. He's lying, he's stealing, he doesn't know which hand to eat from, he's eating with his left hand. And he puts his hand down and then puts butter and then eats, so it's all dirty. And at the same time, sometimes he sits in our own courtyard and starts eating dirt. If this is the reputation that he has at the age of 2 and 3, what's going to happen when he's 16? Who's going to give him a wife? Which gopa is going to offer his daughter in marriage to Krishna? So Mother Yashoda thought, this is enough. If I don't perspire, if I don't dedicate myself whole and soul in serving Krishna, who else would? He has only one mother. That's me. If I don't care for him, he has no one. The whole world, the whole of Vrindavan will just pass comments. They would just complain and they would just criticize. But it's me, the mother of Sri Krishna, who has to work very hard. So Kshaumam Vasaha, Shukadeva Goswami is making the statement that the word Kshaumam, referring to saffron cloth, represents this mood of Mother Yashoda. She is dedicated and she is one-pointed. I'm going to serve Krishna without distraction. And therefore, in the renounced order of life, the saffron cloth is offered because it is the order of dedication, one-pointed surrender to Krishna. His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj, who is no longer with us now, he left this world in 2010, a dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he would say a very beautiful thing. He would say that even if we are grihasthas, externally the cloth would be white, but the heart must always be saffron, meaning one must always be dedicated, one must always be celibate, one must always be one-pointed towards Krishna. Whether externally we are saffron or white doesn't matter, but internally we all must be saffron. So the point, and he would make a very beautiful point. He would say, ultimately when we die, the body is wrapped up in saffron, which means the saffron flames of fire to devour the dead body. So he would say, at the time of death anyway, the body is covered in saffron flames. While being alive, why not cover the heart with the flames of saffron spirit of dedication? So this is one meaning of saffron cloth. Another meaning of the word saffron cloth herein, it's very beautiful that the the Gautamiya Tantra proclaims that Mother Yashoda's complexion was golden. At the other times, in other places, it's described that Mother Yashoda's complexion was Indivara Shyamam, which means like a dark blue lotus. So either way, whether Mother Yashoda's complexion is like a dark blue lotus flower or whether it's golden in complexion, saffron cloth, yellowish complexion cloth would bring in a very good contrast to heighten Mother Yashoda's beauty. So that's another aspect. So this is increasing Mother Yashoda's beauty. She's already very beautiful, but the color contrast of the garment that she's picking up to serve Krishna is heightening her beauty. Finally, Srila Prabhupada would very beautifully say that first dress and then address. That we don't want to be devotees who are shabbily dressed and then we talk about big philosophy. Because especially for an outsider, they would first observe what we are wearing. If our dhoti is not proper, if our sari is not proper, if things are not tidy, the dress that we are wearing, then seldom would people take us seriously and our message seriously. So Srila Prabhupada would say, first dress and then address. So here is also a very beautiful start to that philosophy, that Mother Yashoda's service of addressing is first started with her dress. Next on the list, after Kshaumam Vasaha, please repeat, is Prithu Kati Tate Bibrati Sutra Nadham. So Prithu Kati Tate means her hips were large and very beautiful. And at the same time, Bibrati means to tie. And Sutra means a belt or a string. Naddam, tightly. So Mother Yashoda tied it up very beautifully, especially with her large, beautiful hips. The belt was looking very attractive. Srila Jiva Goswami comments herein and says that why is Shukadeva Goswami making a special attentive description of Mother Yashoda's waist belt? He comments that perhaps maybe the belt was tied differently. Generally the belt is tied straight. Maybe Mother Yashoda had a stylish tie, a bow tie to her belt, and that stands out in his description. Srila Jiva Goswami Pad says, maybe the belt of Mother Yashoda was uniquely tied, and therefore Shukadeva Goswami pays special attention to that and needs a reason to point that out in the verse. Another commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam in this section makes a very tasty point. He says, this waist belt went around Mother Yashoda's belly. So what is that? Why is that important? Because she is the mother of that Krishna who in this chapter is going to have a belt around his belly in the form of string, Damodar. So the Acharya is making a special comment that if Krishna is going to have a belt of rope around his belly, well, it's worth mentioning even his mother has a belt around her belly. Which means if you don't have something, you can give it. As devotees, a very beautiful point. If we don't have genuine spiritual substance with us, we can hardly expect through our preaching to give that genuine spiritual substance out in the audience. Srila Prabhupada, when he was at Radha Damodar temple, he would cry at the samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami. Every night he would weep and sweep the samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami and cry, O Sanatan, O Rupa Goswami, I am an old man. I don't understand their accent and they wouldn't understand my accent. I don't have money. I don't have men. I don't have any contacts in America. I don't know how this is going to work. And it is described, Srila Rupa Goswami through his revelation appeared to Srila Prabhupada and said, it is only genuine spiritual substance which helps penetrate genuine spiritual preaching. So we may be exceptional orators, we may have all the material skill sets needed, but if we are not practicing the message of Krishna consciousness, we can perhaps impress the minds of the listener, but we can seldom inspire them. So therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Bharata Bhumite Haila Manushya Janmajar Janma Sarthaka Kari Karapara Upakar. We first of all have to practice ourselves, and then when we share, we can expect some results. So here Mother Yashoda, before she goes on to tie Krishna through a string around his belly, has made sure in a poetic way that she herself has her belly tied with the belt. So this is a descriptive point, and at the same time for devotees like us, it's a prescriptive point. That It's not just about preaching, but we ourselves have to chant. We ourselves have to read Srila Prabhupada's books. We ourselves have to go deep than we can expect to share. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes sarcastically make this comment that my book distributors are so busy distributing books that they hardly have time to read it themselves. And Srila Prabhupada would reprimand, if questions are asked, you must know what verse is commented where in my books. You should read them so thoroughly like lawyers to quote them and then to smash the opposing arguments. So in this way, Mother Yashoda herself first has a belt around her waist before she attempts to tie a belt of rope around Krishna's belly. It's a very beautiful point. So Shukadeva Goswami starts with the garment of Mother Yashoda, the silken robes of Mother Yashoda, speaks about her waist and her hips, and then talks about this very beautiful belt around her hips. Now the third point. Putra Sneha. Please kindly repeat. Putra Sneha. Snuta Kucha Yugam. Jata Kampam. So the Cha Subruhu, we will leave it for the next discussion. But this whole thing is one phrase. So Putra Sneha. Putra means the son, Krishna. Sneha means affection, love, maternal love. And Snuta Kucha Yugam. Mother Yashoda's breasts started manifesting motherly affectionate milk because of her love for Krishna. And Jata Kampam, it's described her breasts were agitated. This is the description. Mother Yashoda's breasts were agitated, and out of motherly love, there was milk that manifested in her breasts. Now let's see what the acharyas write here. Shripad Sanatan Goswami, in his commentary, he says, why was the breast of Mother Yashoda agitated? He says, well, this is because of the activity. It's just because of her activity that she was serving Krishna, she was trying to churn, that her chest was moving and shaking in agitation. And naturally, out of her love for Krishna, milk appeared or manifested his form in Mother Yashoda's chest. This is Shripad Sanatan Goswami. But there's another commentator in the line of Shripad Vallabhacharya in the Rudra Sampradaya by the name Shripad Harisuri. And he's considered to be one of the very authentic commentators apart from the other names that we have heard. He says a very beautiful point. He says that even the breasts of Mother Yashoda are sentient beings. They are not part of the body of Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda's body is transcendental. So even her breasts are transcendental. And therefore, although Sanatan Goswami Pad makes the point that the chest is agitated because of the activity, Shripad Harisuri says that the breasts or the chest of Mother Yashoda are saying a no to what is happening to their lives. Why? Because they feel cheated. They have taken shelter of Mother Yashoda's body, and it's their service to offer milk to Krishna. But now what are they seeing? Even after taking shelter of a pure devotee's body, that's Mother Yashoda's body, Mother Yashoda is taking milk from the cows of Vrindavan and putting it on the stove to boil it so that it enters Krishna's mouth. So the breasts of Mother Yashoda are agitated and revolting to this activity of Mother Yashoda. They are shaking their heads and saying, no, this is not correct. And so that Mother Yashoda knows what they are trying to explain, they manifest their service in the form of dripping milk in the breasts by telling Mother Yashoda, this milk has taken shelter of your body, and it's our eternal service to give this milk to Krishna. Oh, Mother Yashoda, we feel cheated that if Krishna finds the milk of the Padma Gandha cows of Vrindavan to be tasty, never, ever, ever again in our lives will Krishna climb onto your chest and try to accept our service of milk. And therefore, to remind Mother Yashoda that you don't have to go outside to find milk. There's milk in your body, which has taken shelter of your body. The breasts have started manifesting their service in the form of milk, which is appearing on the chest of Mother Yashoda. To tell Mother Yashoda, please don't go outside. It's almost like our tears. The milk drops are like our tear. Please accept our service. Now tell the Padmagandha cows that, okay, for now we took your milk, but never again, because we're going to take service from the milk which has taken shelter of my body. So the milk of Mother Yashoda's body is appearing and manifesting to tell Mother Yashoda, please offer us to Krishna and don't go anywhere else and make us bereft of our eternal service to Krishna. They know that the cows of Vrindavan love Krishna so much, and therefore if Krishna tastes their milk even once, never again would he feel like tasting any other milk. So out of this fear, the breasts are agitated. So it's very beautiful and very poetic. Sripad Sanatan Goswami is making a logical point that it's because of the activity, and Sripad Hari Suri is making this devotional message that how the devotee wants to put his service ahead to Krishna, saying, please don't take my service away. I'm sold out to you. Please don't take my service away. The only thing that I fear is loss of service. So this is the mood in that whole line. Although, we must also understand that Mother Yashoda, she's singing the names of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna through her tongue, and through her mind, she is remembering them, and through her hands, she's churning and she's shaking. She's moving her body, because anyone who's absorbed in singing for Krishna, he can't just be still. He's going to move. You can see anyone who comes in for our, let's say, Guru Puja Arati or Mangal Arati, even if they don't know the words, they will at least move their body, because the music sets the body in rhythm. So Mother Yashoda, in her love for Krishna, when she is working, singing and remembering Krishna, it's but obvious that even her chest would move in the rhythm of her singing. So this is another mood. The reason we are going slow, one phrase after another, is because Srila Prabhupada said, Srila Prabhupada said, we must study the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. And also, sometimes I have this habit of speaking ahead of then what is given here, and that takes the content away from tomorrow's speaker. So I just want to tailor the discussion to this verse so that we take as much as we can, and at the same time we leave the rest of nectar for tomorrow. So the garment is first described, her hips with the waist belt is described, then the milk on her breasts are described, and then finally, on the end of the second line, please repeat, Subruhu. So Bru means the eyebrow, like English. So Bru means almost like eyebrow. And Su means very beautiful. So Subruhu, and the word cha in the middle means and. So Shukadeva Goswami, after describing all this, says, and now let's come to the beautiful eyebrows of Mother Yashoda. Now please tell me, what are your thoughts? Why would Shukadeva Goswami, who is describing the dress of Mother Yashoda, the belt of Mother Yashoda, the milk of Mother Yashoda, describe the eyebrows of Mother Yashoda? What do you all think? Any thoughts on that? Yes, Prabhu. The eyebrows of Mother Yashoda. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. Yes. Actually, this point, as Prabhuji is mentioning, is also mentioned by Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan in the commentary to this verse. He says, Shukadeva Goswami is so descriptive in this verse so that the devotee exactly can meditate on the form, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport. Very nice point, Prabhu. Any other thoughts? Why would Shukadeva Goswami mention the eyebrows of Mother Yashoda? Yes, Prabhu. Absolutely. Perfect. Another Acharya is commenting that the eyebrows move depending on our mood. So when we get angry, or when we're happy, or when we smile, the eyebrows display the emotions in the heart. So Mother Yashoda, as she's churning and she remembers different beautiful activities of Krishna, her eyebrows are moving in different ways. Sometimes she's happy and sometimes she's not happy with what Krishna did. And sometimes she starts frowning. How could he do this? So as she's putting the words together and forming a nice song, and as she's churning, the eyebrows are also moving based on the emotion of that song. And therefore, Shukadeva Goswami, who's like a CCTV camera, he records everything. As he is observing Mother Yashoda in that scene, he says, ah, the eyebrows also stand out. So I must mention them as well. So Mother Yashoda, depending on the mood of the songs, she's moving her eyebrows. Also, another beautiful aspect is that Krishna has very beautiful eyebrows. It's described that Krishna's eyebrows are like jumping fishes into the water pond of his eyes. Just like fishes sometimes. So Krishna's eyes are always moist and wet. They're like ponds filled with nectar. And Krishna's eyebrows are like fishes jumping in. So Srila Prabhupada, in one purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam, mentions, anyone who meditates on the eyebrows of Krishna, lust in the life of the meditator reduces. The person, the devotee, can conquer, win over lusty urges by meditating on the beautiful eyebrows of the face of Sri Krishna. So if Krishna's eyebrows are that beautiful, then what to speak of the eyebrows of his mother? That's the mood. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in Canto 10, Chapter 35, there is a very beautiful verse.
Vama bahu krita vama kapalo valgita bhroradha rarpita venum komalangoli bhir Ashrita margam gopya irayati yatra mukunda.
So this is called as the Yugal Geet. And here Krishna's eyebrows are described. Srila Shukadeva Goswami says, Vama bahu krita vama kapolo. Krishna has his left hand and he's kept his left cheek on his left hand. Ready to play his flute. So he has pressed his cheek, left cheek to his left hand. And valgita bhrur adhararpita venum. He has given his flute to his lips. And at the same time, has dancing eyebrows. Valgita nartita bhru. Why? Because when he's playing the flute, there are demigods all over the place. They have their celestial vehicles. And they're almost trying to jump off the vehicles to come and embrace Krishna. All the demigods and all the demigoddesses, all the husbands and wives, they've come together and they're trying to jump over. So as Krishna's playing, his friends are all looking about and they're like, whoa, what's happening? And Krishna's looking to all his friends as he's playing the flute and he says, look there, on the top, yes, to the left, to the right, yes, even above, to the left, to the right. So he has his eyebrows dancing. And at the same time, as they look behind, Yamuna has started to flow backwards, hearing Krishna's flute sound. So the demigods are all hearing the flute sound and they are captivated. Yamuna is flowing backwards. And as they're all looking around the friends, Krishna with his eyebrows, he points to them, now look behind. And they all look behind. And Yamuna is flowing backwards. And then as they're completely enamored looking at that, Krishna looks to the side and deer and peacocks are standing like painted pictures. And now Krishna's playing and he tells his friends, now to the right. And they all look to the right and then to the left. And then finally, as they're completely attracted as to what's happening around them, Mother Earth starts shaking in ecstasy in the form of an earthquake. So finally Krishna, as he's dancing with his eyebrows, he tells his friends, now look behind, now look below. He pulls his eyebrows down to say, now start looking down. Mother Earth has started to shake. So Krishna is known for dancing eyebrows. So what to speak of the mother of that Krishna? How beautiful would she be? How beautiful and dancing and expressive would her eyebrows be? So in this mode, Shukadeva Goswami has also added a word for Mother Yashoda's eyebrow. Is this clear? Can I proceed ahead? Okay. Now the third line. please repeat.
Rajwa Karsha Shrama Bhuja Chalat Kankanau Kundalecha
So the word Rajju means the rope, and Akarsha means to attract. So Mother Yashoda is attracting the ropes. So that's a very poetic way of saying that she is pulling the ropes. Because you have the rope here, and when you attract the rope, you pull it towards you. And then this rope's gone away. So she's attracting this rope by pulling it towards her. So Shukadev Goswami is saying she is attracting the ropes on both sides. It's a poetic way of saying she's churning using the rope. So Rajju means the rope, and Akarsha, Akarshanam means attraction, just like Krishna is called Krishna from the word Akarshanam, the all attractive one. So Mother Yashoda with her hands is playing the game of attracting this rope. Oops, this is gone away. So attracting this rope, now this is gone away. Now attracting this rope. So she's attracting ropes on either sides. Shrama. Shrama means hard work. Just like we know, Brahmachari, a Shrama. Grihastha, a Shrama. Sannyasa, a Shrama. Shrama means hard work. And the word a means too much. So whether we are Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha or Sannyas, it's called Ashrama. Shrama means hard work and A means too much. It's that order of life where there's a lot of hard work to serve Krishna. So Shrama means hard work. And in the process of hard work of attracting ropes, which means churning, Bhuja. Bhuja means the hand. Chalat. Chala means to move. Her hands are moving as she's trying to attract the ropes. And Kankanau. So the word Kankanam means bangles. And Kundalam means earrings. And the word Cha means end. So as she is attracting ropes on either side with her hands, the bangles and her earrings are moving. Now it's an important point. Shukadev Goswami is a renunciant. He's a renounced person who doesn't even wear a kopin. He's poetically described as the one who's dressed by the 10 directions. He's covered by the 10 directions. So why would he spend so much time describing the bodily features of a lady? Isn't it a good question? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he describes that he wouldn't even look in the direction of the reflection of a wooden doll in the shape of a lady. And here is Shukadev Goswami, who's a renounced person, describing the breast of Mother Yashoda, the hips of Mother Yashoda, the eyebrow of Mother Yashoda, the hands of Mother Yashoda, the dress of Mother Yashoda, the earrings of Mother Yashoda, the bangles on her hand. Why would a renounced person do this? Any comments? Any reflections? Any thoughts on that? Why would he do that? And that too in an assembly of all renounced personalities on the banks of the Ganga. And Srila, our Parikshit Maharaj has only 7 days. So he could as well think, if I save the description of this one verse, I could speak more because his time is limited. Still, Shukadev Goswami pumps in a verse describing the bodily beauty of a lady. Yes, Prabhuji. Very nice. Yes. Shukadev Goswami had transcended the difference between male and female. So Shukadev Goswami didn't know the difference between, the bodily difference between male and female. He was so transcendental. He was almost an avadut. Completely renounced. So for him, this is male and this is female, and therefore I can describe this, and this is a female, so I cannot describe this. This discrimination he had transcended. So for him, anything and everything in relation to Krishna is worth describing. That's one. Second, she is the central character in this pastime of Krishna running for his life. How could he have not described her beauty? And third and the most important point, Krishna is like the rising moon. And the moon seems to rise from the ocean. So if the beautiful moon of Vrindavan, Sri Krishna, is so beautiful, then how beautiful will that milk ocean in the form of Mother Yashoda's bodily beauty be? Krishna is all attractive, and therefore how beautiful will his mother be? In this greed of describing the all beautiful, Shukadev Goswami goes in here. So he says, as Mother Yashoda is attracting the ropes one after another, her bangles are moving. And at the same time, the earring is moving. So in this context, Srila Sridhar Swami, the original commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam, he's saying that, why is the word shrama used? Hard work. Why is Shukadev Goswami using the word hard work here? Srila Sridhar Swami comments that Mother Yashoda had so many servants in her house that she had never worked hard for Krishna. Even to give him, let's say, a cup of water, she had servants. She had servants to milk the cows. She had servants to clean the house. She had servants for everything. And this was the first ever time Mother Yashoda had woken up early in the morning with fresh clothes, bathing, tying her hair, and trying her best for the first time in serving Krishna. And therefore, Srila Sridhar Swami says, it's worth noting that because this was her first attempt in churning, she was really getting tired very fast. And therefore, she was really perspiring and working hard. This is one. Srila Jiva Goswami, he is commenting, why are the earrings moving? Why are the earrings moving? Srila Jiva Goswami says that Mother Yashoda, as she was churning, she was sometimes even moving her head in emotion for and love for Krishna. In her love for Krishna, she was thinking that I'm going to make all this and Krishna's going to get up and he would be so happy to taste this and he would be so ecstatic and he would embrace me. And in this emotion, Mother Yashoda was even moving her head and the earrings were moving in emotion. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan, he comments by saying, it's not just the earring and the bangles. Mother Yashoda had necklace, which was moving. She had ankle bells, which were moving. And she had upper armlets, which were also moving. But they're all implied, he says. Shripad Baladev Vidyabhushan says. He said, Shukadev Goswami couldn't have described all the ornaments on Mother Yashoda's body. That would have been a chapter in itself. So he just makes a point. The earrings and the bangles. And they were moving. Finally, Shripad Harisuri, in his Bhakti Rasayan commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, the bangles were moving in circles to tell the world that, because even the bangles and the earrings are alive, sentient beings, so the bangles are moving in circles to tell the world that we have moved through the cycle of repeated birth and death, and after many, many such cycles, we have got the fortune of being on the hands of someone who serves Krishna. And at the same time, Shripad Harisuri says that the earrings are also moving in ecstasy on their own. Why? Because they are on the ears of that Mother Yashoda, who alone can twist the ear of that Krishna, to whom we are supposed to give our ear in the process of hearing. So it's all the game of the ear. We give our ear to Krishna by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and that Krishna's ears are twisted by Mother Yashoda. And the earrings are on the ear of that Mother Yashoda. So they're telling the world, our great fortune, we are on the ear of that lady, that transcendental devotee, who can twist the ear of that Krishna, whom we are supposed to give our ear to in the process of hearing. And finally, the bangles are also tinkling. In the previous verse as described, because Mother Yashoda is performing Naam Sankirtan. She is remembering Krishna. She's singing about Krishna and using her kartal like bangles. So as she's churning, the bangles are also giving the beat. So the bangles are the kartal. And she's singing and she's also remembering. And very soon you'll see in the future verses to come, Krishna gives up his sleep to come there. Naham vasami vaikunthe Yogina Mridayeshuva Yatra Gayanti Madhbhaktaha Tatra Tishthami Narada. Krishna's making this bold point that I don't live in Vaikuntha, O Narada. I don't even live in the heart of the ecstatic yogis where my devotees congregate together, clap their hands and chant the holy name. That's where I appear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Finally, in the last line, Kabara Vigalan Malati. What are the three words? Kabara Vigalan Malati. So Kabara means she had tied her hair, Mother Yashoda, because she had taken a bath early in the morning, so she had wet hair, so she had tied it up nicely. She had a hair bun, or let's say a hair binding at the back. And Malati refers to the white jasmine flowers, and Vigalan means to slip. So in her activity, as she was performing the churning activity, the white beautiful jasmine flowers were slipping from her hair downwards. So to this, our acharyas are commenting. Srila Jiva Goswami Pad says, why is Shukadeva Goswami saying Malati? He could have said any other flower, but why is he saying Malati, the white jasmine flower? Srila Jiva Goswami Pad says, because this pastime takes place in the month of Kartik. This is the Sharad Ritu. And during the month of Kartik, the most prominent and easily found flower in Vrindavan is Malati, the white jasmine. And therefore, it makes logical sense that Mother Yashoda plucked them and used them for her decoration. Now, why were the flowers falling? Shripad Hari Suri in his Bhakti Rasayan commentary, he says, the flowers are also speaking a message to the world. The flowers are so happy that Mother Yashoda is ecstatically absorbed in serving Krishna through thought, word and deed. Through thought, she's thinking of Krishna. Through word, she's singing about Krishna. And through deed, she's churning. So the white jasmine flowers on the head of Mother Yashoda are proclaiming this message to the world. How on earth could we be so proud to be on the head of that devotee who's worshipping Krishna through thought, word and deed? We want to slip down her hair and fall at her feet, to hold her feet and to tell her, oh Mother Yashoda, you serve Krishna through thought, word and deed. We just want to stay at your lotus feet. And in this mood, all those animate, sentient, white jasmine flowers of Vrindavan were slipping down Mother Yashoda's hair, falling at her lotus feet. And the word nirmamantha means to churn. Now this is the final phrase in our verse, and then we'll wrap up the class. Sorry for going a little over time, but this is the last phrase. Please kindly repeat. Swinnam vaktram. So vaktram means face, and swinnam means to be filled with perspiration drops, sweat drops. Now our acharyas are like the investigation agency. Our acharyas investigate every single word of Srimad Bhagavatam. As soon as there is a crime, they seal the crime scene. And they go in with their magnifying glass to look on the floor for every strand of hair, and they would put them, seal them, and take it for investigation. So this pastime is also a crime scene. So there is breakage, there's breaking, there's anger, there's running, chase, there's handcuff in the form of the stick and binding, and there's cry and appeal for liberation. Let me go. So this is a crime scene. So the acharyas seal the crime scene and investigate every phrase. Why was Mother Yashoda perspiring is the question. And five reasons are given by our acharyas. So this will be the last section. First and foremost. Okay, let me put it out. What do you think? Why was Mother Yashoda perspiring? What were the different reasons? Because of the hard work. Yes. This is Shripad Sanatan Goswami's commentary, where he says Mother Yashoda had woken up in Brahma Muhurta, and because of her real sheer hard work, she was doing something that her body was not used to. She had never done this before, and naturally there were perspiration drops. She was using her BMW in Krishna's service. What is BMW? Body, mind and words. So we materialists want a BMW, but devotees want to offer the BMW that Krishna has given back to Krishna in the form of body, mind and words. That's the true BMW that we can possess. service through body, service through mind, and service through words. So this is the first reason out of the five why Mother Yashoda was perspiring. Second reason, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his Sararth Darshini commentary, he says a very beautiful thing. He goes poetically descriptive. He says Mother Yashoda's hair looked like a rain cloud. It was black and thick like a rain cloud. So in Sanskrit, the word cloud is referred to by the word ghana. Krishna is called as the rain-filled cloud. Therefore, he's called ghana shyam. Shyam means dark and ghana means cloud. But the word ghana also means thick. So Mother Yashoda's hair was thick like a rain-filled cloud. Filled. It's black and thick. And therefore, poetically, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, whenever you have a thick rain cloud, there must be a few raindrops. So therefore, the hair was tied up like a thick black rain cloud. And naturally, there were a few raindrops on Mother Yashoda's beautiful face. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan, the disciple of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, takes the poetic description a level higher. And he says Mother Yashoda's hair was like a black sky. A black, dark night sky. And the perspiration drops were like stars falling from that sky. So the hair was like a black night sky. And perspiration drops from her hair were like stars falling onto the Mother Yashoda's beautiful face. Sripad Harisuri in his commentary, he says, Mother Yashoda's face was like a very beautiful lotus flower. And early in the morning, it's but natural to have dew drops on the lotus flower. And therefore, Mother Yashoda's lotus flower-like face had dew drops of Mother Yashoda's hard work perspiration. And finally, the fifth reason, first being hard work, second being rain from the cloud, third being stars from the sky, and fourth being dew drops on the rain on the lotus flower, the fifth being, this was the early morning of Deepavali. And on the day of Deepavali, you light lamps. But Mother Yashoda, she was so eager in serving Krishna that she forgot to light lamps. So her body in the darkness of Brahma Muhurta decided to set rows of very attractive effulgent lamps in the form of Mother Yashoda's perspiration sweat drops. So the sweat drops were like effulgent knowledge-filled lamps placed on the forehead like rows and arrays of Mother Yashoda's beautiful face. So in this way, the beautiful verse that Mother Srila Prabhupada has instructed us in the purport to meditate on the form of Mother Yashoda. So I just wanted to follow the instruction of Srila Prabhupada and do this. And so just a quick recap. Kshaumam Vasaha refers to the saffron cloth. Prithu Kati Tate represents the big beautiful hips of Mother Yashoda. Bibrati Sutra Naddam, the belt around Mother Yashoda's waist and belly. Putra Sneha Snuta Kucha Yugam, Mother Yashoda's breast started manifesting milk drops. And Jata Kampam, they were agitated. And Subruhu, Mother Yashoda's eyebrows were very beautiful. Rajya Akarsha Shrama Bhuja, with her hand she was attracting the ropes. And as she was churning, Chalat, something was moving. Kankanau Kundalecha, her bangles and her earrings. And finally, Swinnam Vaktram, her face was filled with sweat drops. Kabara Vigalan Malati, white jasmine flowers were falling off her thick black hair. And Nirmamantha, in this way Mother Yashoda churned for Krishna's pleasure. So we spent an hour describing Mother Yashoda's beautiful bodily feature. So I am very, very grateful to the management of the temple for kindly having me here. And I'm not in any way qualified, but you somehow extracted some service out of me. If there was anything nice in this discussion, it is certainly the mercy of my spiritual master and the acharyas who have commented on this verse. We bow down to Sripad Sridhar Swami, Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Sanatan Goswami, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan, Srila Hari Suri,
and our dear Srila Prabhupada, who have all mercifully commented on this verse. If there were mistakes in my presentation, being Saragrahi Vaishnavas, those who just seek the essence, please kindly forgive me and please pray for me and bless me so that Krishna engages my tongue in speaking and singing for his pleasure. Finally, I bow down to Srila Prabhupada, by whose causeless mercy and diligent endeavor this nectarian verse was unfolded, and like cotton pieces were flucked out one after another. Srila Prabhupada has given us word by word description of such a beautiful verse so that all of us can dive deep into the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam and have a positive feast for our mind. Thank you so much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yes, I'm completely okay. It's just that I don't want your prasadam to get delayed or whatever your next activity is. But I'm certainly available here to serve you.
Yeah, two comments. One thing, one is to add something. Srila Prabhupada Maharaj and his Vrindavan Yatra, he was describing. There's another about chani, that how it was making, you know, like we are kartals, everything like that. Ching, 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 ching. So, very nice. And another thing, you mentioned about Prabhupada, you know. Prabhupada took 10 years, you know, in Vrindavan. He charmed all the scriptures.
Yes.
All the commentary of, you know, all the acharyas. And he, just like the cream of the milk, you know. He took all the Vedic literatures and he put everything. For us, he took a lot of troubles. So we are in debt to Srila Prabhupada. So whatever is essential for us to understand Krishna consciousness, that's what Prabhupada gave us, just like the cream of all Vedic literatures. So of course, it is very nice class you gave that, you know, by bringing so many commentators from all acharyas, that's good. But for us, as a, someone is a neophyte, someone is, you know, making Madhyam Adhikari, something like that, they're trying. So I think this Srila Prabhupada's book is enough, not to waste enough, you know, time in that section, unless one is really interested to become like a sannyas or, you know, like that. So that slowly, slowly comes bhava, you know, like that it will become, you know, manifest everything.
So Srila Prabhupada, in his commentaries of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam at so many places, has repeatedly quoted Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He has quoted Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan. And Srila Prabhupada has quoted Sanatan Goswami. And Srila Prabhupada has quoted different acharyas. So we are just quoting the acharyas that Srila Prabhupada quoted. We are not quoting anyone else. And at the same time, Srila Prabhupada in his commentaries has said the study of the Shastra is very well bolstered by studying the commentaries of our acharyas. So if we only study the commentary of our acharyas without keeping Srila Prabhupada as the focal point, then we miss the bus. But if out of gratitude we study Srila Prabhupada's books, where he has also given us advice to study with all other commentaries, it is not wrong. Yes. Yes. Srila Prabhupada in this verse has said that we must meditate on the form of Mother Yashoda. So if we don't take shelter of the commentaries of our acharyas, we will get onto the path of mental speculation. If this verse is just given to me with lust in my heart, what can I meditate? Srila Prabhupada says one must meditate in this purport. So with lust in my heart, how can or what can I meditate on the form of Mother Yashoda? But if I take shelter of what our acharyas have given, then the meditation is authentic and fruitful. It is bona fide. So in that way, we pass all of our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, who churned the cream, as you rightly said, of all the commentaries of our acharyas.
That in purport, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that one should follow anukaran, not anusaran, not anukaran.
Yes.
That one should not become like Mother Yasoda, but you follow the footstep of Mother Yasoda.
Correct.
Then or else it will become Mayavadi.
Correct. Yes.
Very nice.
Yes, many in Vrindavan, they try to get to these different Babajis in Radhakund, who very cheaply start giving out the constitutional forms that you are a friend of Krishna, you are a maidservant of Radharani, or you're, you know, so and so forth. And they get onto this path of imagining that, okay, I am so and so. And this is totally abominable. This is not bona fide. So Srila Prabhupada says, even in the purport of Nectar of Instruction, Tishthan vraje tad anuragi jananugami kalam nayet iti upadesha saram. Kalam nayet akhilam iti upadesha saram. This is the 8th verse of Nectar of Instruction, where Srila Prabhupada says one must follow in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. As Prabhuji rightly said, it is good to aspire in the mood of Mother Yashoda, but to read this verse and think I am Mother Yashoda and I am being described is completely, we miss the bus. Yes, Prabhuji, that is very nice.
Hare Krishna. For the Subrahu, we were talking about the beautiful eyebrows of Mother Yashoda. I was thinking as we were going further in the verse about how she's perspiring and everything and working really hard. We have the expression to like work by the sweat of your brow.
Yes.
So I was wondering if that might also be a commentary on how she's working very hard and she's and the beauty
sweat
of yeah.
Yes.
And the beauty of working in the service of Krishna and her beauty while she's working. Yeah.
Very beautiful reflection. Very beautiful. Yes, Prabhuji.
Jai Hare Krishna Prabhu. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for blessing us with your presence here in Chicago. And I had the opportunity to watch your videos 2 years ago. It's been times fly and always whenever I'm feeling down, need some pick me up, I'll definitely watch your videos. So thank you for that wonderful service you're doing.
It's time for you to pick me up.
My question is regarding maintaining our Christian consciousness, because that's the most, like you mentioned, reading the books, and there's so many things that destroy our consciousness, like the mold, so many temptations. But before I mention maintenance, I'll mention somebody you should know here in Kishore Kishore, who's personified maintenance. And he's one of my most, he's one of the main reasons why I'm still here in Christian consciousness. This gentleman right here, his name is Jitendra Prabhu. And he's been here for 45 years. He's a Srila Prabhupada disciple. And he's a handyman in maintaining the temple. And I've asked him, that's my main question I ask him. How have you maintained your Christian consciousness for so many years? Because so many temptations, so many obstacles, so many disagreements. And the one answer he gave me, and maybe you can elaborate on some of these points. One thing I appreciate about, he's gave many answers over the years, but while he's doing so many services, taking out the garbage, fixing the temple, saving the temple thousands of dollars over 45 years, because so they won't hire other people who will cheat us. So one thing he mentions is that I always found very strange. He says, unfortunately, I miss Mongol Artsy today. I hope they don't kick me out the temple.
Oh, Krishna.
And he doesn't have the upadi that I was like, you're a Prabhupada disciple. Of course they're not going to kick you out. So that's kind of my question, is that like you mentioned in Shukadeva Goswami, he made no distinction between men and women. So there's many things that destroys our consciousness that prevents us seeing distinguishing between men and women, or honor and dishonor, etc. And so I want to ask, you're kind of like a personified enthusiasm. Is there some points in your life where you became unenthusiastic, depressed, where you like, this reading Krishna consciousness is boring? Like, this is fun, reading Mother Yashoda's descriptions. I think I would prefer the most material nature. So at any point in your life, did you feel like Krishna consciousness was boring, it's tasteless? And maybe you could explain, how did you come to maintain your Krishna consciousness, or come to those,
well, I feel, so fundamentally, please correct me if I understand. So the question is, when we feel low in enthusiasm, what do I personally take shelter of to pull my consciousness up? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Of course, of course. But before that, I really want to offer my obeisances to Prabhuji for being such a wonderful role model to so many devotees. And unfortunately, because this is my first time to the temple, I didn't know of your personality and your grace. So I think I shouldn't answer this question. We should hear from Prabhuji. Because I have not... Prabhuji has spent more years in the temple serving than I have spent a number of years in this body. And I think I shouldn't speak anything. Prabhu, we would really love to hear from you as to how we conditioned souls should, what should we take shelter of when we feel low in Krishna consciousness, in enthusiasm and spirit.
he said, fake it till you make it. He said, fake it till you make it.
No, that's his word.
So, you know, we try to encourage people, and I remember Prabhupada saying, you know, we were at the airport and we were distributing books, and devotees, we would buy back the books from the people that were throwing them away, you know, and Prabhupada said, they would say to Prabhupada, said, Prabhupada, you know, they're throwing your books away. And Prabhupada said, this, we're preaching to animals. They're throwing their children away. So, you know, the things, when human society becomes so downtrodden, and we were, we're here today because we're inspired by Srila Prabhupada. So, I mean, when you look all around, it's just chaotic and depression and stuff. You know, it's just like, but Krishna consciousness is so bright, it's self-illuminating. So that's the shelter that's always helped me, you know, and helping us all, you know. So we have to see the bigger picture, and your elaboration was, you know, stunning, you know. I mean, but you're getting it from all the other acharyas, you know, and this is a compilation. Did you know that you were going to be speaking on this today?
Yes, I actually heard our Subal Prabhu's class yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So that I can serve all of you in continuation in the proper context. Prabhuji's example of Ramanujacharya, the baby monkey, and the cat, and the kitten. So I was making notes as to what Prabhuji was speaking, following the Kishore Kishore YouTube channel. Then I could guess that maybe today I was supposed to speak here. So I studied Prabhupada's purport and Prabhupada's Sri Krishna book, and also went through different works of our acharyas, what they have said in this verse. Because when I'm sitting here, I must speak not of my mind, but I must try to get that current through me.
The conduit.
Yes.
The conduit, yes. Some people never say what they think, and some people never speak what they say. Is that how it goes? some people... So, you know. But I'm sure you heard it before. But thank you.
Certainly my pleasure.
Thank you, Bill, for the class. It was beautiful. Although this verse is focused mainly on Mardasarada's beauty, there's no hint of a lusty description. It is a sublime description. It is the feminine aspect of Krishna's beauty, yes, which makes it so spectacular. No? And one can read between lines that is indeed made by a renunciant person. It's not the description of a man, of a woman. It's God's mother. Is the seed of understanding the beauty of a woman from a different perspective, in my eyes.
Hare Krishna. Yes, certainly it's a very beautiful point, because Srila Shukadeva Goswami has transcended, or he has no trace of lust. And he is speaking in the assembly of his Gurudev, Srila Vyasadeva, and his Gurudev, Narada Muni, and there his Gurudev, Brahma, and it's on in the assembly. And at the sacred banks of the Ganga, the Ganges. And at the same time, the days for Parikshit Maharaj are limited.
So, and Parikshit Maharaj is a pure Vaishnava who saw Krishna in the womb. So it's such a concentrated assembly of explosion of love, divine love, prema for Krishna, that as you very wonderfully pointed out, although he's describing the hips and the chest of Mother Yashoda, it is so beautiful. It is not out of a lusty man's viewpoint. It is the heart just, it's an effusion from the heart in total attractive wonder of Krishna's mother's beauty. Yes, very beautiful. Any concluding points? The mother's here. You want to say something and bless your son here? Because this is all about the mother and the son. Okay. Yes.
Well, I found it very interesting, the commentary from Shripad Harisori that you were bringing up periodically, bringing in the animated aspect of each of the inanimate, supposedly inanimate objects, or even the appendages of the body actually having consciousness. So I was appreciating that greatly, so thank you.
Yes, Shripad Harisori, he appeared in the 18th century in the line of Rudra Sampradaya, and he wrote this very beautiful book called Bhakti Rasayan, which is the commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the uniqueness of his commentary is that he gives his commentary on the basis in the expression of poetry. Like all other commentators, they explain a verse in the form of prose. They explain it in Sanskrit, that this is what Shukadev Goswami meant. But Shripad Harisori, he explains a verse by composing a poetic verse of his own as the purport. And he brings out beautiful colors of every single thing that happens. Like the description of Krishna's appearance and Vasudeva Maharaj taking Krishna. Shripad Harisori gives 30 reasons why the wind blew and 25 reasons why it rained. So it's a total weather report of transcendence. Yes, certainly he adds a lot of color and flavor in the Srimad Bhagavatam. All right, as the clock reads 9 o'clock, I thank all of you for your wonderful reflections and comments. Vancha Kalpataru, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.